You open up Parshas Behar, you begin to look at Rashi. Certainly, there are many Parshas where the opening Rashi is a particularly famous one. The opening Rashi Behar gets us thinking about another phenomenon also. The way in which Rashi, particularly in his Pirush al Torah, shaped the way Jews speak. Rav Shavel, who's perhaps most famous to many of us for the edition that he put out of Ramban al Torah from Masada Rav Kook, that was the most famous work that he did. But he did probably 20 or so svarim. Among them was actually another edition of Rashi al Torah, Perushe Rashi al Torah, published by Masada Rav Kook. One of the many features that Rav Shavel added, he has a list of all of the phrases. They're just part of our lexicon, part of the way we speak as B'nai Torah, which come originally from Rashi. And probably one of the most famous ones comes from the opening Rashi in Parshas Behar. When you want to say that what you're saying has no relevance to the context, it's a non sequitur, you say, well, Mayin Shmita Esar HaSinai. That's Rashi at the beginning of Behar. And Rashi asks, the parasha, why is the parasha called Behar? The parasha opens with the halachos of Shemitah and of Yovel. Important dinim, and the psukim can move on to other dinim as well. They have to do that with Yisrael before moving on to other topics. So, Rashi quotes from the Midrash Halacha, the beginning of the parasha. Jump right in. Say, Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe lemar. Etc. Why is it that the opening pasuk has those extra two words, an extra clause? Instead of Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lemer, it's Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Behar Sinai Lemer. All of a sudden here, the Torah felt the need to give us a byline to tell us where it was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was teaching these dinim. Ma'in Yishmita Etzel Har Sinai. That's one layer of what bothers us about this. Why do I have to mention it at all? Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lemer would have worked, works 98% of the time. Would have worked here. Why are we hearing this added information about location? There's another layer to the question also, which becomes clearer as we read what Rashi says. What Rashi answers is, he says, Mashmita nemru kaloseu protosev v'diktukei misinai af kulan nemru kaloseu v'diktukei misinai. Just as it says, that's what the Torah's Kohanim, the ancient Medrash Halacha Vayikra says. That the point is that Shemitah is an example of the fact that everything was already taught Misinai. The general ideas, the Kolam, as well as all the Pratim Dikdukim. Details are also were giving Misinai. And Rashi goes on to explain, and the Ramban tweaks a little bit, that what this means, it's not only a statement. It would already be important for us to know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the entire Torah, the Torah Shebichsav, and not only the Torah Shebichsav was given from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe Rabbeinu to us, but Torah Shebaal Peh interpretation was also, the core interpretation of every mitzvah was also given, as well as the methods to continue to discover more interpretation from the text of the Chumash itself. But this is not only a statement about Torah Misinai in the usual sense. Rashi and the Ramban both, again, detailed differences, but both go on to explain what this also touches on is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught the entire Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu in three stages. And that's part of what Rashi was originally asking, Ma'in Shmita Etzar Sinai, not only why bother telling us location at all, but there's more than one location. Chazal point out, Gemara in several places, and Midrash HaHalacha, sometimes when the Torah does give a byline, sometimes it's Har Sinai, sometimes it's Ohel Moed, like the very beginning of Sefer Vayikra, and then Dvarim is Ba'arvos Moav, the plains of Moav, that's the Chumash Dvarim, is what Moshe Rabbeinu delivers to Klal Yisrael during the last month and change of his life. They're already on the plains of Moab on the east bank, facing the Yarden, ready to march ahead across the Yarden into Eretz Yisrael after Moshe's death. So over the course of Chumash, Rashi Ramban go on to explain, we hear three different bylines. Some of Chumash is what was taught by Har Sinai. Some of Chumash was taught Ohel Moed over the course of the decades in the Midbar, the ongoing teaching after they were only at Har Sinai for close to a year, from Rosh Chodesh Sivan until the following Chaf Iyar. But beyond that, they traveled with the Ol Moed, and as Rashi explained at the beginning of Chumash Vayikra, Kadosh Baruch Hu continued to reveal himself to Moshe Rabbeinu in the Kadosh Baruch Hu would create a voice that came out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, Moshe's one room over in the Ol Moed, and that's how Hashem would continue to teach Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu over the course of the 40 years. And then finally, the last transmission of Torah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu through Moshe to Klal Yisrael is Ba'arvos Moed. So part of what Rashi's quoting the Tana already wondered about is, why are we hearing a dateline at all, and why specifically Har Sinai? It's actually out of place. Vayikra began with Ol Moed. And now we're sort of going, at the end of Vayikra, we sort of circle back to Har Sinai, which happened earlier. Har Sinai was that first year. So that's where, like, this is so out of place. Why do we have to give locations at all? And if we are, this should also have been Ol Moed, like presumably the rest of Vayikra is. So Rashi explains, and again, the Ramban sort of adds some of the details, and that we're saying, this, as Rashi says, we do not hear about Shemitah in Arvos Moav, and we do hear about Shemitah here Har Sinai. Ramban points out in Chumash Shemos, which is all Har Sinai, Parshas Mishpatim, we already heard the basics of Shemitah. What one phrase, Vashvi is Tishmetano Unatashta, a little bit there. Here you hear already Pratim, that was the Klal. You hear in Bahara the Pratim. And the Torah is teaching us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was already teaching basics and details Har Sinai, and then again Ol HaMoed, and then again Arvos Moav. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught it all three different locations, and this is a paradigm. This is a paradigm of that. Interesting. We opened before by saying that, you know, that phrase, the way Rashi captures the question of the Tana, Ma Inyan Shmita Eitz Har Sinai, what does Shmita have to do with Har Sinai? You know, I said before, that's become sort of the way Ben Torah would say in any context, it's a non sequitur. Like, what does this have to do with the context? Why are you raising that here? So Rav Zevin, in his Torah L'Moedim, he has a great kasha. Before I even tell you the kasha, you know, I've quoted so many times in shul, but you never get to see it, so at least if we're doing this via Zoom, this is, at least my edition, Ol Torah L'Moedim, the beautiful Sefer Barim Zevin, highly recommended. This is his most famous Sefers, either L'Or HaAlacha or Sipuri Chasidim, but Ol Torah L'Moedim are his drushes throughout different parshas of Chumash and then throughout the Moedim. Very thought-provoking. And very like Rav Kook in terms of the way he weaves together different threads and sort of the light poetic style. So he says, a metakasha. Ma inyan all of this, Eitzel Har Sinai. He says, Rashi asked, well, what does it have to do with that? What does Shemitah have to do with Har Sinai? So what do we answer exactly? Well, Shemitah is the illustration. So weiter, ma inyan Shemitah is Har Sinai. Why of all dina was Shemitah chosen to be the illustration that, you know, things were taught, kolam pratim and Har Sinai and beyond as well? Why Shemitah? My in Shemitah is Har Sinai. The Kasha Rashi asks on the Chumash, we can ask on Rashi. You haven't really answered the question. Why Shemitah in particular? And Rav Zevin has a fascinating answer. He says, to appreciate Rashi's content is highlighting that this opening pasuk helps us to appreciate the Masorah of Torah. Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shvapeh, Kadosh Baruch Hu transmits to Moshe Rabbeinu, transmits to us. It was taught at Har Sinai, then again, Ol HaMoed, Arvos Moav. Rav Zevin says, there's also appreciating the content of Torah. It says, Shemitah, he suggests, is the perfect paradigm. It's the perfect example. Because Shemitah has a little bit of everything. Rav Zevin, he says, you know, Gemara already speaks, uses other terminology, but speaks about bein adam lachavero and bein adam lamakom. The Gemara often uses the terminology of isura and mamona. For bein adam lamakom is isur v'heter, and bein lachavero is dina mamonis, mamona. And some of the later sforim will speak about bein adam lachavero, bein adam lamakom, and bein adam liatzmo. which usually means sort of self-work, avodas hamusar, tikkun amidas. So Rav Zevin uses that term a little bit differently. He says, you know, when you think about Shemitah, so where would Shemitah fall? So he says, well, the most obvious one, Shemitah is Bein Adam L'Makom, right? V'shavasar Shabbos L'Hashem. It's a Shabbos for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shabbos, as we usually think of as Bein Adam L'Makom. And here with Shemitah, as with the weekly Shabbos, it's about remembering who's really in charge. And Shemitah is all about, in general, b'machazek eramuna, reminding us that Kadosh Baruch Hu is ultimately Adonai Haaretz, and reminding us that Kadosh Baruch Hu takes care of us all 6 years of the cycle. He'll take care of us in Shemitah as well. But then he says there are other aspects also. He says the parasha Shemitah reinforces that Kadosh Baruch Hu expects us to work, typically. That the norm is that we should seek to work and to produce 6 days a week, 6 weeks out of the 7 year, 6 years out of the 7 year cycle. Sheishanim tizrasa decha v'sheishanim tizmor karmacha v'asafta tzvuasam. Rav Zevin sees that as an aspect of Ben Adam la'atzmo, as an aspect of tikkun amidas, of developing one's character, is this sort of self-reliance. HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects us to be taking responsibility for ourselves or for our families. It's sometimes easier said than done, especially in a difficult, challenging climate. And as we've said many times in the past, efforts are on us, results are on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, both in good times and in challenging times. The efforts, at least, are on us. And it reminds us that those efforts in the world of Parnassa are also a part of our Avos Hashem. That too, to maintain work, to find work, that's part of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects of us. That's not, you know, I have my Avos Hashem and then I go to work. Two separate things. The work is a part of my Avos Hashem. That taking responsibility is an aspect of the Bin Adam La'atzmo expectations HaKadosh Baruch Hu has. And then as you move to from the 6 years to the Shemitah year, now clearly the keeping Shemitah has a strong overriding element. The key element, the highlight element, is Bin Adam La'makom and the Emuna and the Ashkacha Pratis. But at the same time, the Psukim stress the Bin Adam L'Chavero aspect. As I'm leaving the fields open for everyone else. And the Torah stresses. It's going to be and the Shabbos Aris Lachem L'Cha U'L'Avdecha L'Amasecha L'Schircha L'Soshavcha. Everyone gets to enjoy. Everyone gets to enjoy. It's not exactly Matnos Aniyim, but there definitely is an element of broadly taking care of others with what would normally be mine. It's my field. I've developed it. I've kept it. I'm not working it in the Shemitah year the way I do the rest of the time. But the investment I put over the last 4 or 5 years into my orchard, well, that's why there'll be beautiful plums and beautiful oranges. And everyone is enjoying it. So Shemitah really brings together all the strands. That's what Rav Zevin points out. It's a blend of very central Bein Adam La'makom in terms of Emuna, and the Bein Adam La'atzmo in terms of the context of the working the field the rest of the years of the cycle, and the self-reliance, the responsibility, and the Bein Adam L'Chavero on an extraordinary level. So it's hard for us to even, you got to stop for a moment to think what that means. That I just open my business. Again, if in an agrarian society, my farm is my office. That's my business. So 1 year out of seven, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, just open the store, open your factory, open your office, and it's a Rishus HaRabim. There's an extraordinary level of Emuna, and it engenders an extraordinary degree of Bnei Chaver. And Rav Zevin says, that's why Shemitah is Mayi Shemitah Etzer Sinai. How come HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose Shemitah specifically to teach us something broadly about how HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught us Torah in general? Because Shemitah is such a remarkable blend of the different flavors. The different flavors of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu includes in his Torah. And it's a reminder that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's expectations are broad, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects us to be ambitious on all fronts, on the Bidam La Makam front, on the Bidam La Atzma front, on the Bidam La Chaver front. Now, close to this. I think I might have mentioned a couple of weeks ago, the Parshas Kedoshim seems so random. So, the sequencing, there are chunks that are, there are clumps in Kedoshim, a couple of psukim of the clear of the Bidam La Chaver mitzvahs, here and there, but overall, Parshas Kedoshim looks so randomized. It's jumping from Zram to Kachim to here to there. It's dizzying, not just the density of mitzvahs, but the sequence seems so randomized. So one approach, I think, is exactly, it is meant to look random, and perhaps the message of that is that the route to Kedoshim Tihyu does not lie through any one aspect of Avos Hashem alone. I cannot become a Kadosh through only Karbanos, through only Zram, through only Bit Adam Lamakam, through only Bit Adam Lachavero, the route to the Kedusha that Kadosh Baruch Hu offers us, Kedishanu B'mitzosav, the Kedoshim Tiyu, it's only through embracing the totality of mitzvahs as presented in intentionally shuffled form in Parshas Kedoshim. And for everyone, there'll be parts that are easier and parts that are hard. The areas that come more naturally and the areas that are less natural. Kadosh Baruch Hu says you're going to have to work hardest on the areas that are least natural, because if you want Kedusha, it means accepting the fullness of what Kadosh Baruch Hu has to offer. And that idea, according to Rav Zevran, is being reviewed again in the beginning of Bahar. Shemitah is the paradigm of Torah as a whole. And Kishem that Kedoshim reminds us that it's embracing the totality, all the dimensions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's expectations. That's the path to Kedusha. Bahá'í reminds us that embracing the richness, the fullness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's expectations are the path to the bracha that the opening parasha speaks about, the bracha that we look forward to continuing to see in ever greater measure in our lives as we continue to, in ever greater measure, embrace the fullness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's expectations of us. Abosa, thank you so much.